coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
But you know, when a person actually walked in the door of that room, it was a miracle. It was a gift from God. It was beautiful and welcomed and healing.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Good news declared, God's love delivered. Welcome to the Daily Ministry Broadcast Journal that tells of the new thing God is doing in some of the world's toughest places. This is Compassion Radio. Friends, the broadcast you're about to hear is truly noteworthy, as today we turn the microphone over to the woman who's long been the heartbeat of this unique boots-on-the-ground radio ministry, and that's our own Cher Nelson. Today, she shares from her heart.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Compassion Radio. This is Cher Nelson with you today, and I'm by myself because I just wanted to have a time to talk personally to you. It seems like most of the times I'm in the studio, I'm with somebody, and we have a specific subject to talk about. And today I just wanted to talk person to person with you. Something's been on my heart, and I wanted to share with you. It's been hard to talk about before now, but I think I can be open and honest with you now. I'm glad you're listening. We're in a season right now where we're not sure who's listening. We know that when we lost Norm, we may have lost some listeners. We don't know that, but we know that our giving is down. People are either waiting to see whether the program will survive or whether or not they really like Bram or whether they like us together and whether they're willing to support it. But for those of you who are listening, I'm just so grateful that you're here because our message hasn't changed, even though we've lost our major voice. Our hearts haven't changed, our purpose hasn't changed, and our partnership with you hasn't changed. You've heard our story about how we became Compassion Radio after years of having another name. We started with the Morning Chapel Hour. Along the line, we went to Life at Its Best, which was focused on living the very best life Christ offers us and not just the good life of this world. And then eventually came to the name Compassion Radio after we had already started doing compassion projects because Norm had put it so heavily on Norm's heart. And one of the reasons that Norm made that decision started when he was very young, actually still in seminary, had some opportunities to do some compassion projects, although they weren't called that. They were mission outreaches at the time. But he went to various places in Central America with hurricanes, with earthquakes. He was in Colorado after the Big Thompson Canyon flood. He worked with the Navajo Indians in New Mexico. God had moved his heart very strongly towards reaching out in compassion for those who have no help, no hope. And along the line found that our country really does have a great deal of help to offer people who are in need, in tragedy, in circumstances beyond their ability to do anything about. And so that's why most of our compassion projects have been overseas. But I wonder how much of a heart we have for reaching out overseas if we're not demonstrating compassion at home. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about today is what are we doing together? What are we doing individually to show the compassion of Christ? We have so much instruction in Scripture about compassion. Luke tells us that we must be compassionate as our Father is compassionate. Colossians tells us that as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, we must clothe ourselves with compassion. That's an interesting illustration, I think, that compassion is something that doesn't just automatically come out of us. It's something we have to put on. We have to be willing to have it. We have to be willing to be a participant with it. It's not something that just flows that naturally for us, although as God's children, it should. Isaiah talks about the Lord comforting his people and has compassion on the afflicted ones. James talked about the Lord is full of compassion. And I'm challenged constantly to really be full of compassion on the afflicted ones. It's really easy for me to bring you stories from around the world where compassion is desperately needed. So many of our Christian brothers and sisters are so persecuted, are so wounded, are so neglected. And not only as Christians, but as members of countries who simply have no backup systems for when tragedies come. And I know that I bring those to you a lot, but I don't talk very much about things at home. We all have been overwhelmed with stories of desperation and need. First with the hurricanes in the south, with the desperate fires that are going on, the earthquake in Mexico, which is affecting a great many people here in this country too. There are so many things happening. And really, the only way that seems easy and comfortable to reach out is to send some money. And I think we're obligated to do that. But I wonder if we're practicing enough compassion at home that there's enough of our heart that goes with the money that we send to things. I need to tell you a little story. You know that Norm, for almost a full year, was hospitalized. He was ill before that, but we were in and out of hospitals, in and out of different kinds of care. But for the last year, he was in a multitude of hospitals, but continually in for a year. And in that year, I could count on one hand the number of people who came to see him. Now, I got a lot of emails, cards, encouragement for me. But because of his situation with the severe dementia and the severe psychosis, I know that it was uncomfortable for people to come because it was either difficult or almost impossible to talk with him. And my family was there all the time. We had a support system within the family that was dynamic and wonderful. But there were times when it felt very alone. I know that people loved us. Norm was respected and revered and loved all over the place, and most of those people would check in now and then to say, how's everything going? But you know, when a person actually walked in the door of that room, it was a miracle. It was a gift from God. It was beautiful and welcomed and healing. And I wonder why people were so afraid of coming in contact with mental illness. Why uncomfortableness stopped their compassion flowing. And I tell you this not for you to feel sorry for us, but because I know that there are hundreds and thousands of people in hospitals, in rehab centers, in mental hospitals, that no one comes to see. I know that because I was the only one there most of the time. And I would take Norm in his wheelchair and we would walk around the hospital just to stop in and say hello to each patient, lay a hand on them if that was permissible, say a prayer with them if that was permissible, but to smile and offer a touch, know their name and just say hello. And I know what it meant to those people. There were people that I never saw anyone visit in months of being in a facility. There were two or three times choirs or groups that walked through the halls and would stop in various places and sing. And what a wonderful gift that was. But very few of them went into the rooms to see the people face to face, to just smile an encouraging smile, to just hold a hand for a minute. There were other families that we saw, very few, but there were others that were there faithfully, and we never saw anyone visit them either. It can get extremely lonely. Now, it's a great time to talk with the Lord. You have plenty of time to do it, and that's a good thing. But it's also a good thing to see a face that's warm and caring, eyes that are loving. Now, I continue to go back to the very last hospice home where Norm was. And some of the people remember me. Some of them are not able to remember me. I'm a surprise every time I come. I'm a new person. Some of them I can't communicate with. Some I can. But, you know, I'm not going to believe that just because I don't see a reaction, that there isn't a reaction. Because that's not my job to figure out what's happening. It's my job to be caring. It's my job to show up and let the Lord do with that whatever he can do with that, whatever he wants to do with that. In that last hospice home, there was a pastor from a church that we used to attend when Regan was in high school. He was part of the youth program there. And he had a group of six young people that he was training to go places to reach out. And he would bring these six young people to the hospice home, and they would go in and meet with the people. And it was difficult. Several times I stood with the kids out in the hall when they were through visiting and prayed with them as they cried over the things that they had seen. But praise God, they were putting themselves in that position of being, having their hearts torn open, torn apart, with compassion for people. We had a friend who had a son in the military who had a horrendous motorcycle accident being stationed here in California and was in intensive care for quite some time. The parents were not from California. The father was not able to come, but the mother came and was here alone in California day after day, all night in intensive care with her son. I don't say anything like this to be self-promoting. It's the only illustrations I have to bring to you. But I went and spent time with the mom, and very often just sitting with her with nothing that had to be said. She didn't have to entertain me and I didn't have to entertain her, but just sat with her. It's a lonely place in intensive care. People can't get in except for a few minutes every hour. There are all kinds of overwhelming things. Your mind is just besieged with information that's over your head, with information that's just incomprehensible, and yet you're trying to make sense of it all the time. You don't need someone to come and tap dance and sing a song and entertain you. You need somebody to come in and give you a warm hug and say, I love you. How can I pray for a minute with you? What can I do? May I bring you some coffee? May I bring you a popsicle? May I do some laundry for you because I know you're staying at a hotel? Can I do anything? Maybe they don't need you to do anything, but you cared enough to be there and offer. I don't mean to rattle on here. I want to spark your thinking. How compassionate are we in our everyday life? When we've got kids that have to be at practices, when we have all kinds of involvements in the evenings, when we have to get dinner organized for people, when we have to run all day, how much time do we have to be compassionate? But maybe it's the other way around. How much time will we take to be compassionate? To just check in on somebody who's sick? To just give a phone call or an email if you can't be there? That's wonderful, but I'm telling you, the warmth of a human touch and looking eye to eye with someone shows more compassion than anything. Maybe you don't know what to take and you don't want to go empty-handed. I highly recommend those little business-size cards that you can buy at the Bible bookstores that just have a lovely little picture and a verse or a quotation or something that you can just leave with them. I know we received a few, and I taped them on Norm's bedside table just as a reminder that someone was caring and as a reminder of the thought that they brought us. I want for us to be Christ people, to be holy God people. The holy God of the universe is compassionate to us. How much less can we as scrubby little human beings, but creations of his, be less compassionate? We have so much to be grateful for. We have so much to share. I'm reminded of a story that a pastor friend of my father's sent into Reader's Digest at one time, and they published it, and since then I've seen it in many, many places. But he had a son, and back then the word autism wasn't used. But his son wasn't retarded. He simply was not in touch with the world the same way that normal children were. And I think autism is probably what he would, the category he would fall under now. But his name was Wally. And he always wanted to be in the Christmas program. And so Wally was always a shepherd or a king or something where he had no lines, but he could follow, he could take direction, and he could do his part. But one year, Wally desperately wanted to have some lines. And his dad and mom, who of course directed the Christmas pageant at that time, pastors did everything back then, asked him what part he would like to play. And he said he would like to be the innkeeper. So they thought that was good. He had only one line to memorize, and that was, "I'm sorry, we have no room." And so during rehearsals, Wally wasn't always cooperative to be there for the full rehearsal, but he always showed up long enough for them to be able to rehearse, Mary and Joseph asking him if there was room in the inn, and Wally would say, "I'm sorry, we have no room." Well, the night of the first Christmas program, that time came, Mary and Joseph came to the door and asked if there was room in the inn, and Wally said, "I'm sorry, there is no room." Well, Joseph went on with his next lines, which Wally had not really rehearsed. And Joseph said, "But my wife is going to have a baby, and we have nowhere to stay. Please, can you find us a place?" And Wally looked a little bit frightened, but said, "I'm sorry, there is no room." And Joseph finished his final line with saying, "I understand. I wish you could find us just any place where we could find shelter." And Wally said, "I'm sorry, there is no room." And Mary and Joseph began to walk away. And Pastor Joe said he looked up at Wally's face and realized that he had tears streaming down his face. And all of a sudden, Wally said, "Wait, wait, come back," which was not in the script. And Joseph and Mary turned around to look at him, and he said, "I have a room at home. You may have my room." Bless his heart. He was willing to give up his own room at home in a situation he didn't even understand. But his heart was full of compassion. How many of us would give up our rooms? How many of us, if we lived in Texas or Florida, would say, "I can take people in, I'll sleep on the couch, these people have nothing, they've suffered, I'll give them my master bedroom and my master bathroom, and I'll sleep on the floor in the den, whatever." How many of us would take our dinner and say, "We can eat crackers and cheese, but I'm going to take my dinner to somebody"? How many of us would say, "I'm not going to go through my closet and pick out the junk I don't wear anymore, but I'm going to go to the store and buy new jeans and lots of clean socks and take it to people in need"? What is our level of compassion? If you've just joined us, this is Cher Nelson with Compassion Radio, talking to you today about having a heart of compassion. And I have to tell you that we need your hearts of compassion today, too. Although I want you to reach out in tangible ways to people around you, I need to tell you that we need your help financially, too. Jimmy will be giving you the information on our project this month and on what we have as a gift to send to you for your contribution. But please know, we know that you're waiting to see whether you support us or still love us. But I beg you, if you are still believing in us, please help us. We need you desperately. Lord Jesus, I pray that some of what I've said today has made sense and not just been jumbled. I hope that your power can touch people's hearts to be hearts of compassion. Lord, continue to work in my heart to think of new ways, to watch for new ways in which I can reach out to people, to be your hands and feet. Lord God, I want to be fully devoted to the things that you've asked us to do, and you've asked us to be compassionate. I praise you for trusting us with this. I praise you for who you are. I love you. We bow before you. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much for those precious words, Cher. And we do have a very special premium we'd like to offer you this month and when you request it. Details at CompassionRadio.com. I'll get you more info after this from Morning Song.
But your voice, the truth to the nations, a generation looking for God.
For such a time as this, I was placed upon the earth.
Such a time as this. That's Morning Song on Compassion Radio. You know, friends, the mission of Compassion Radio is to be the eyes and ears, hands, feet, and voice of Christ's compassion, serving those who suffer the most, wherever faith costs the most. Now, before we close for the day, here's a good word for the new year from Bram.
Happy New Year, friends. Thank you so much for making it possible for us to finish well in 2017. Because of you, we're completing 74 years of continuous ministry. Because of you, more people are hearing this daily broadcast than ever before, all across the United States. Because of you, new works of God in new places are now known here in the West, challenging the body of Christ to engage in the great work of completing the Great Commission. Because of you, we've gone to get the story of God's work right in the center of the world's most dangerous and threatened places. Because of you, persecuted believers in dozens of countries now know that they are not forgotten, that their suffering matters to God and to God's people. Friends, in 2018, we're taking one of the most important steps in the history of our ministry as we refocus on the primary purpose of helping to unite the body of Christ around the world through interactive reporting and transformational encounters. So for 2018, I'm inviting you to join us in the most important work that Compassion Radio has ever done. It begins today with your prayers, encouragement, and financial support of Compassion Radio. 2017 year-end giving was sufficient enough for us to stay on track and on this station. But we don't have the luxury of waiting passively this month. Simply put, we need you. We need to come out of the gate at full speed, in the full confidence of God's Spirit and the unity of God's people. If you've never been a part of our Compassion Radio team before, now is the time. If even 1,000 of you, spread across the hundreds of radio stations where this program is heard daily, would make the decision to join our vision team with even a small monthly gift, every question facing us, every challenge before us, would immediately turn into opportunities and even more compelling programming for you. Would you pray about this right now? If you've received any inspiration from Compassion Radio, if you've ever been challenged or moved by what you've heard here, if you've ever wanted to play even a small part in reaching the world for Christ and bringing it closer together, then please join us in this work today. Even a monthly gift of $18 in 2018 would make it possible for us to survive and thrive this year and in the years to come. But truly, it begins today. Bless you, friends, and thank you for taking this challenge seriously and courageously.
Thank you for those words, Bram. So very on point as we get started here in 2018. And by the way, friend, our gift to you for joining our vision team here in January is a special devotional booklet based on the book of Ecclesiastes in paperback or ebook format. You can connect with us right now by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or online at CompassionRadio.com. That phone number once more is 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the team, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And join us again tomorrow on the next Compassion Radio.